Now, we're turning in the Bible this morning. That gives you a little thumbnail sketch of what we've been about. And now let's look at what the Word of God says to us today. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, I encourage you, if you don't take notes, at least make note of the references that I'll give you during the course of this message. And if you struggle with anxiety or fear, these would be maybe some good verses or passages to memorize. Faith is the opposite of fear. Trust is the opposite of terror. Dependence is the opposite of dread. And so for every good way of looking at what God wants us to do with assurance, the devil attacks us and attacks our outlook with an opposite anxiety. He has an anxiety ready for us. There are plenty of things that we're tempted to fear. Some have a fear of darkness. They're afraid of the dark. Some have a fear of storms. We had a lady in our church, a senior saint, who every time the forecast was storms, she was just so fretful, and I would call her and calm her. But any storm or danger, some fear. Some fear extreme height. Some fear death and loneliness. Some fear traveling in airplanes, or others driving a car. Some fear a spider or a mouse or a snake or wasps and bees or dogs. Some fear public speaking or meeting people, witnessing they're afraid of, becoming a preacher or making decisions or losing a job. There's all kinds of fears. There's a fear of this virus. And if the media would have their way, you would just keep fearing the virus. I think we ought to respect it, but not fear it. Some fear going bankrupt, not having food, not having money. All these things are buzzes to get us to fear. There are a lot of things that people are afraid of. There's a whole list of phobias if you look them up. Have you ever heard of these fears? Cyberphobia, the fear of the internet or computers. Lunophobia, the fear of the moon. Chromatophobia, which is the fear of money. I don't think too many have that. Homophobia, the fear of sermons. I've known some people that had a fear of sermons. Palatophobia, which is a fear of baldness. I don't have a fear of that, but I do at the start of it. Agoraphobia, the fear of crowds. Ecclesiophobia, which is the fear of churches. Astrophobia, the fear of lightning. Europhobia is the fear of the color red. Is the fear of 13, the number 13. And phobophobia, the fear of fear. Good night. There's all kinds of fears out there. There are hidden fears that motivate us, too. There's the fear of failure. Causes a lot of people never to start anything, kind of like Garfield, right? Not to try anything unless it's completely safe. The fear of rejection makes us afraid to do anything that could draw criticism or someone laughing at us. Now, all fears are divided into two categories. There's good fear and bad fear. Good fear or harmful fear. The good fear keeps us from driving 100 miles an hour. Well, I should say it keeps some of us from driving 100 miles an hour. Keeps us from picking up a snake a rattlesnake by the tail, or jumping off a building, or eating poison. The fear of the Lord is a good fear. So there are good fears that protect us, and there are also harmful fears, such as the spirit of fear that's mentioned in our text. This fear paralyzes us and keeps us from doing what we could do and what we should do. Whenever God gives us a new assignment, He knows that we will have to overcome fear. New assignments have certain fears connected with them. As early as Genesis 15:1, when God gave direction to Abraham of what He wanted him to do, something new, He prefaced the instructions with, "Fear not, Abram," because there's fear connected with new assignments. Hagar cried out to God for help in the wilderness, and God prefaced His deliverance in Genesis 21:17 to her with, "Fear not, fear not." Jehoshaphat, go to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20. When Jehoshaphat and Judah had to fight a battle against the confederation of countries, God foresaw that they would fear. They had an assignment, and they would fear. And so He told them in verse 17, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17, "You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not," there it is, "and be not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." Amen. Another assignment, and God says, "Fear not." Again, God wanted Joseph and Mary to go ahead and get married and have the Christ child. But when He told them in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, He sent an angel to first warn them to fear not. It was a new thing they were embarking on. And at the beginning of a new trip or a new explanation of God's will in your life, there is certain fears that will come, and He knows that. When Jesus prepared to leave the earth and return to heaven, He told His 12 disciples in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled." What was He saying? He was saying, "Fear not." 63 times in the Bible, we find the phrase, "Fear not." Fear must be overcome every time God dispatches you to do something new or to face something new in your life, or to walk a new path. But God and Christ have commanded us to fear not. They've warned us not to fear. They've warned us. And if they say fear not, it means that fear is a distinct possibility in our life. And so they say fear not. I believe that God may be speaking to someone who's listening live stream or in the parking lot or in the building today, that we should fear not. Each of us must overcome fear. But how do we overcome this fear? The title for the Sunday school lesson is Overcoming the Spirit of Fear. Now let's bow for prayer and we'll get right into it. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, now speak to our hearts right now. If there's someone who is full of anxiety or fear or having that as new things come up in their lives, I pray that You will help them to overcome and let that overcoming begin today, right now, as they see the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. First, understand how Satan stirs up a spirit of fear. In our text, 2 Timothy 1:7, "But God hath not given us the spirit of fear." Now, God hasn't done that. He hasn't given you that fear that you have or that anxiety that you have. So you have to ask yourself, where did it come from? If it didn't come from God, it had to come from somewhere, and it came from Satan. Who would want us to disobey God? Who would want us to hesitate to do the will of God in our life? Who would want us to be miserable, because that's what fear will make you? Who would want us to doubt God? Well, that would be Satan. Who would want us to doubt His will for our life? And who would want us to disobey God or have God's vision squelched in our life? That is Satan. And so we have to recognize that. Satan uses past sins to condemn us. He reminds us of our weaknesses and failures in order to beat us down and to keep us down until we feel unworthy and incapable of doing what God has asked us to do. Listen, none of us are worthy. None of us. Face it. None of us are worthy. He alone is worthy. Amen. We read in Revelation. But we must say, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm not going to listen to that. Satan uses our potential of failure to scare us. He loves to pose questions that assume that we are going to fail, intending to create doubt and fear in our lives. What if you can't do it? What if you get out on a limb and you do something wrong? He says, if you fail, what will everyone say? That's an appeal to your pride. Satan uses the certainty of criticism. You know, that if you take this step, somebody will criticize you, and you may be one of those people that you just don't want to have any criticism in your life. Well, he loves to play that card. Do you think that your pastor gets any criticism when he preaches as many times as he does in the course of a year and counsels so many folks from the Word of God? Or he has to confront people and situations and issues in the church? You think he ever draws criticism? Don't be afraid of criticism. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Fear not. Yes, it will come, but usually by those who have never done anything for Christ. There's always an armchair quarterback who's never thrown a pass. Yeah. We need to have a tougher skin. Jesus had critics. And so if you do the will of God, you'll have critics. So get used to it. Christ's plan for us to have abundant life. That's what he said. I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And Satan loves to steal and kill and destroy your life. And so he wants to get you to avoid taking the step of obedience. He wants to stop you from pleasing God and growing in grace by creating a fear in your heart about stepping out and doing it. And so the next step for you may be getting baptized. He wants to create a fear in your life about being baptized. What if the water goes up my nose? Well, it's short-lived. Go ahead and get wet. Amen. He wants to stop you from being faithful to all the services. And this part of this is that. He's trying to interrupt those who have just started to be faithful. Now, you need to give him a black eye, and when your church comes back together, as soon as you feel comfortable to do it, you need to get back to church and be faithful to the services. Amen. The next step for you may be stepping out by faith to do God's will, maybe surrendering to do a ministry in the church. Well, you ought to do it and not let fear inhibit you from stepping out to do that. Number two. Learn how to overcome fear like Paul did. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to do a little Bible study here after all Sunday school class. Philippians chapter 4. Here's Paul's description for overcoming fear as a Christian. We'll start in verse 4, and I'll put these in maybe a parallel term or phrase. Practice daily joy. Practice daily joy. This is a great way to overcome fear. In Philippians 4:4, Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. You and I have to conscientiously decide to sing through our fears. Sing. Rejoice. Joy is an act of your will to dwell on God and on His truth instead of your situation. And it's a determination not to succumb to your fear, whatever that is. Rehearse all that God has done for you. And then remind yourself of who your God is. After all, He is all-powerful, is He not? After all, He is the purpose for me. And He is loving, and He has all wisdom and all knowledge, and is all-knowing. He is patient and kind. He is faithful. We know that He is sovereign. He wants the best for me. He wants the best for you. My steps, the Bible says, are what? Ordered by the Lord. And He delighteth in His way. Our God is enough. He's all that we need. And so we can make it through every day, and we can make it through the situation that we're tempted to fear about. Joy is a decision that you make every day to be content. And joy helps dispel fear. Paul commanded believers to rejoice in the Lord always. By the way, where was Paul when he wrote this? He was in prison. Philippians is one of the prison epistles. And he's possibly facing death. And yet he said, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord on good days. When all the news around you is good, rejoice in the Lord. No, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice just in case you missed it the first time around. So Paul's helping us here. In verse number five, not only practice daily joy, but practice daily patience. Daily patience. It's the way to overcome fear. In verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. A lot of fear and anxiety is really anger at not being able to control our situation the way that we want it, the way we're used to controlling it. So we fear and we become anxious, but we're really angry. It's anger. The word moderation means patience. Patience. Paul's saying, quit being anxious. Calm it down. You don't have to get to a fever pitch here. Take a few deep cleansing breaths. Remember that God is with you, and it's all going to be all right. It's out of your control, but it's not out of God's control. That's a key phrase. Remember that. Relax in Christ and wait for what He has for you. This waiting is not sitting and doing nothing. Rather, it is, as Christ said, occupy till I come, Luke 19:13. It's not sitting at home doing nothing until you sit there like a monk to get clear direction. No, that's not it at all. You have clear directions right now as believers. And as soon as we can, one of those directions is to be back to church and to live for Christ and be patient as you are being obedient. Joy, be full of joy, and be patient. Number three, verse six, Paul goes on, practice daily trust and prayer. This will help you overcome fear. In verse 6, be careful for nothing, that's anxious, that's fearful, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. That's prayer. And so prayer is an act of trust. Paul said, don't be fretful, rather in everything pray. Give your fears and anxieties and situations over to God. Do that over and over again as many times as you have to get relief. I've had times, maybe you have too, where I'll pray over something that's really bugging me. And I'll ask the Lord, Lord, take this thing off my mind. I don't want to fear it. I don't want to have anxiety about it. And He'll give me relief for 5 minutes. And before I know it, it's involuntary. It just comes back on me. And before I know it, I'm thinking about it again. And when I realize that I'm thinking about it again and the anxiety is building again, I realize, uh-oh, I need to take this thing back to the Lord in prayer. I'm glad He doesn't get tired of us coming to Him. And I'll take this thing back to Him in prayer. A lot of times it's on my bed and I'm tossing and turning. And I'll say, Lord, here it is again. I'm sorry, but my mind went back to it. Please deliver me from this. And I trust You. Help me right now. And He will. For 10 minutes. But the mind is a wonderful thing. And it's also sometimes doesn't help us. My mind may go back to it, and I may have to go back to Him again in prayer and trust. Glory be to God. He's available. When fear dominates us, I wonder if we're really praying. I wonder if we're really trusting. In the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, it says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Paul wrote that we have not because we what? We ask not. We could ask, but we don't ask. We fail to ask. Remember what Isaiah said, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Isaiah 26:3. Again, overcome fear by practicing daily joy, by practicing daily patience, daily trust and prayer. Next one, practice daily reflection. In verse number 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Take time to contemplate the many ways that God has calmed you in the storm before. You face other storms in your life. This isn't the first one. How did He get you to calm down before? In that reflection, you need to practice mind control. Determine what to think. Not to dwell on whatever pops into your mind. Certainly don't dwell on all the negatives and fearful things. We watch the news, and the news comes on, not fear, but facts. And then, for the next half hour, they spew out things to create fear. All right? We need to get our mind off of that and onto the Lord. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Inventory the good things in your life and around you. Make a list of good things that are going on, and think on those things. Philippians 4 and verse 8, in the context of this, notice he instructs us what to think, what to reflect on. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, those are all positives. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, we don't do that enough. We don't think on the good things enough. It's sad that God has done so much for us and around us that we never take time to savor what He's done or to praise Him for what He's done. This is a great mistake that Christians make. If we take an inventory of the good things, we would have much more gratitude for those good things, and we would dwell on those good things more than we would on the fearful things. Every good business takes inventory to see what resources they have available to them. And do an inventory of your life and your heart today and your life and rediscover all that God has done in your life. I have a thank list, a list of thanksgiving. And when God does something absolutely unbelievable in my life, it's there. I put it on there. And then I rehearse it every Thursday in my prayer life. I rehearse it. Then I have a list of who our God is. We have a book on our table, The Names of Christ. And I have a list on my prayer list of who Christ is and who God is by their name. And I meditate on some of those names every Thursday. Why? We need a breaking up of these fears and anxieties that the devil would put on us. And by Thursday, I've heard it. I've heard it from everywhere, and I'm ready to dwell on it. I may start the praise before that, but definitely Thursday we're going to get into it. All right? And finally, in verse 9, Paul's instruction is to practice daily obedience of what you know to do. Verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So, there must be a performance. There must be an obedience. Notice that when we do what we have been taught, who is with us? The God of grace. Comfort. Undisturbed, untroubled, dispelling fear. So how did Paul teach us to overcome fear? Practice daily joy and daily patience and daily trust in prayer and daily reflection and daily obedience. We don't have time to go into this, but I had another section on learning from David and Goliath about overcoming fear in David's life. Did you know that in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Easy things? No, all things. All things. Can I do hard things? Yes, I can do hard things. Things that are difficult. Things that I don't know if I can or not. But I can. And we praise the Lord that we can. Would you bow your heads with me now? In your car, in your home, here in the building. I wonder, maybe we're going to talk about Goliath and David. And David had to face a giant in his life. And how he faced it was not with Saul's armor or the world's way. He faced it in the power of God. And the key is that he went out and faced the Goliath. Now, up to this time, they would not face him, but he did. And that's what we have to do with our fear. We've got to be honest and recognize when we have a fear and anxiety, and we must face it. And say, I'm not going to be taken down by this. I am going to trust my God. And so face it. Recall how God's helped you in the past. And fight it in the strength of the Lord. And rise up and get on with your life. I wonder who that may be listening who's facing a Goliath-like circumstance. Maybe it's a fear or a stress or a reoccurring thought or situation. In a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray. We'll stop and we'll have prayer. And when I do, I want you to bow your head and pray and ask God to help you to overcome that fear in your life, following the principles that Paul taught us. It could be that you're afraid to come to Christ today. You're listening, but you haven't received Christ. Maybe you're listening with somebody else who does know Christ, but you haven't received him yet. Maybe you're fearful that you couldn't live it, or maybe you're fearful that he'd refuse you. Why don't you face it and bring it to Christ today? Why don't you go ahead and let him save you? Or if you're backslidden, go ahead and come back to him. Overcome that fear. If you're lost or backslidden and need to come to Christ, do it right now. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we're grateful because you have the answer to every fear and every anxiety. And Lord, these things do not have to bubble up and dominate us. Lord, you said fear not. And Lord, you're a great God. You're able, more than able, to overcome fear in our lives. You didn't give it to us and we don't have to accept it. I pray, Lord, that you'll help somebody right now to overcome a fear and an anxiety that's been dwelling in their mind. Help them to fight it off and to get a wonderful victory in their life. If there's somebody who's lost or backslidden, oh, Lord, help them to overcome it and come to you right now. In Jesus' name, amen.